All right, tonight let's take our Bibles and let's turn to the book of Revelation in chapter number 22. I titled my message tonight, The Last Message of Through the Bible in a Year. It's hard to believe that this is the last Sunday night message that I'll preach this year. I mean, it seems like, it's just the 16th, but next week we'll have our Christmas program, and then the following week will be the fifth Sunday, and so this is it. And so it is the last message of this preaching through the Bible. So last year when we began this kind of project, this goal, we talked to people about reading through the Bible in a year. We purchased several of those one-year Bibles, and our goal was to have as many people as possible that we could read through the Bible in a year. And I know some of you have done well on that. I know some of you have been doing that for a number of years. When we had the calendars a few years back, you purchased those calendars and you've kept those and used them and reused them and all of that. But we did it a little bit different with buying those Bibles. And so I'm proud of you. Listen, if you just gave an effort, I'm so proud of giving an effort, because giving an effort is better than not giving any effort at all. And so I'm proud of you that have tried to do this and accomplish that goal, or whether you accomplished it for a quarter of the year or whatever it is. I want to encourage you for the year 2019 to just say, I didn't finish it last year, but I'm going to finish it this year. Give effort to begin reading your Bible on a consistent basis. In that, in trying to teach through the Bible, read through the Bible in a year, my goal was to preach something from what we had read during the week. And the idea was that as you come reading through the Scripture, there'll be some things that you'll read that maybe you don't understand. And so my goal has been throughout the year to try to share some things with you that maybe you didn't understand, or maybe something that you need a little more insight on. I asked for some, hey, does anybody read anything that they need some help with? And we got a lot of that in the beginning, and as the year went on, we got a little bit less of that. But still, we received some passages to preach on, and so we've tried to do that. I know I haven't been able to answer all of your questions, or I've probably not been able to discuss all the difficult passages. I've even strayed away from the plan to preach something from the text that we've read during the week. But I've done my best to try to help you and preach through the Bible. The interesting thing is I went back and just kind of on Sermon Audio, they have a place where you can call a series of messages, and I went back to look at the series, and I think there's only 27 messages in that series. So that's kind of interesting to me, that in preaching through the Bible in a year, we only preach 27 messages. But anyway, so tonight I thought that since this is the last Sunday night message that I'll preach this year, I thought it would be fitting for me to close out the series. And I thought, where am I going to do? What am I going to do? How should I close out the series? And I thought there's no better way to do that than to go to the end of the book. And again, I do want you to encourage you to continue reading. Whatever you do, however you read, I want you to understand you will find out more about your Savior reading. And so I want us to think about this, though. I'm reading also a book. Kimberly, when she made her trip down to Georgia to teach at the ladies' retreat, she bought a book in the airport called Overcomer by David Jeremiah. And David Jeremiah has it's all about the different articles of the spiritual armor. And in the helmet of salvation, it talks about the wisdom to be gained. And listen to what he says about gaining wisdom by having a hungry heart. And it's the hungry heart that seeks God. You're seeking God from a hungry heart gives you wisdom to understand salvation, to understand who God is, which allows your helmet of salvation to be strengthened. And as your helmet of salvation is strengthened, it gives you more assurance of your salvation, and so it makes you stronger. But listen to what David Jeremiah says. If wholehearted seeking after God is a prerequisite for wisdom, many of us know where our problem lies. Our desire for God is too weak. If we want more of God, we must increase our hunger for Him. In his book, A Thirst for God, Sherwood Wirt explains that physical and spiritual hunger are fundamentally different. When we're physically hungry, we eat and are satisfied. Then the hunger disappears. But when we are spiritually hungry, we eat and find ourselves even hungrier. We discover that our appetite for God and His Word is increased. That's why disciplined, consistent study of God's Word and regular participation in a Bible teaching ministry are critical for the growth of our spiritual lives as Christians. That's the end of the quote. So I want you to think about that. Your spiritual maturity, the more you know God, the more you read of God, the more you study, the more you desire of God. And so instead of being spiritually full, you are spiritually longing. And the more you have, the more you want. And I found that so true in my years of Bible reading. I've found that the more I read, the more I want to read. Because there's always something that's interesting. There's always something that captures my attention. There's always something that stirs me to maybe read something else or study something else. And so I found what he said to be true. And so it does concern me a little bit when I listen to the comments of those who refuse to read on a consistent basis. I know that a hunger for God is necessary for spiritual growth. I know that those who refuse to seek God through reading are less likely to be spiritually mature. Now, reading the Bible is not an end-all be-all. In other words, if you read the Bible, that doesn't mean that you're going to be spiritually mature. However, I do know that if you do not read, you will lack in spiritual maturity. And I do know that if you do read, you will find a desire for God. Now, I'm not saying that you are lacking spiritual maturity if you don't read through the Bible in a year. I'm just talking about some Bible reading every day. It is necessary for your spiritual maturity. And I know that when you read, you will find a desire for God. And then, as you find a desire for God, it will help you to discipline yourself to follow Jesus. Now, as I told you, I did go back and look at the series of messages that I began preaching on January the 7th, 2018. I went back and listened to the beginning of that message because the title was The Beginning of the Journey, and it was Taking Back the Rainbow. And so we talked about the rainbow in the sky. Some comments I made talking about reading through the Bible in a year was, it's a long journey. It's not easy. It takes commitment. It is discipleship to disciple or to discipline yourself to set a time each day to get alone with God. I talked about the promises of God. God's covenant with us is a divine promise. And so I talked about how that covenant with God makes changes in our lives. So I want you to think, how has reading through the Bible changed you this year? One thought that I always have as a speaker is I wonder how what I'm saying is changing lives, or if it is changing lives. And so I hope with this encouragement to read through the Bible in the year that as you have read, you have been changed. Maybe you've just become more disciplined because you said, I'm going to read the Bible more. And you know what? If you read the Bible more this year than you did the year before, then you have matured a little. Hopefully we'll instill in you a desire to read even more. And so we're not going to go and really stress this. I think I'm probably going to go back to the book of Psalms for a period of time. I don't know exactly. I'll have to go back to 2017 and see where I finished. Probably somewhere in the late 70s, early 80s in the number of Psalms that I preached. And I'll probably pick that up on Sunday nights and start going through the book of Psalms again. But hopefully you, as you've gone through this, you'll be encouraged and you have been encouraged and that you have grown spiritually. And you can look back at the spiritual disciplines that you have established in your life throughout the year. And you can say, this is where I'm more spiritually mature today than I was a year ago. But as I, like I said, I'm trying to think about what am I going to preach? How am I going to conclude this study? And I thought there's no better place to finish than in the book of Revelation. So here we are in the book of Revelation. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 6. And what I thought I would do is I thought I would finish up the year by looking at the words of Jesus as they are described here in the book of Revelation in chapter number 22. Let me get me a different Bible here. Is there a... one of these. Well, you know what? I'm going to need another one other than this one. Yeah, hand me one of those. There's a reason why. That Bible that I use is not a red letter edition. And so I want to make sure that I cover this in a red letter edition tonight. So Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 6. And again, we're going to look at these closing words of Jesus. As he's closing the book, what does Jesus have to say? Revelation 22:6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets and his angels to show unto his servants the things which must surely be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the book of this prophecy. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I'd heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is, which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit say, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, there's lots of things to cover in this passage, and I'm not going to cover everything, but I do want us to think about the words of Jesus. Let's never forget this as we think about the Word of God, that this book is a book about Jesus. If you have been with us on Wednesday nights, you know that as we have talked about the book of Revelation, we want to remember it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so the book of Revelation is a revealing of Jesus Christ. It's an unfolding of who Jesus is. It is, we are seeing there God fulfilling His promises to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, and to David. We see God fulfilling His promises. And so it's an unfolding for us about Jesus. This book is about God. It's about God creating this world. It's about God loving this world. And because He loves this world, He provides redemption for His people. That's what this book is about. The writings of this book, we know this also, that the writings of this book are faithful and true. If it's written in this book, we can believe it. If it's written in this book, we can put our faith in it. And we know, as we read there, you will be blessed if you follow the teachings of this book. If you keep the sayings of this book, you will be blessed. We also know this, that when you discover the sayings of this book, when you find the God that is revealing Himself to us through His Son Jesus, when you find Him in this book, it will cause you to worship Him. It will cause you to fall at the feet of Jesus and worship God through Jesus Christ, because you understand all that God has done to provide eternal life for you. So, the more you learn of God through this book, the more your heart will grow in love for Him, and your heart will be called to worship. And so that's why it is so good for us, beneficial for us, to study this book and see the revelation of Jesus Christ. First thing I want us to notice is in verse number 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. There will come a day when your standing with God will be finalized. For those who are just, those who are holy, and those who are righteous, it tells us that He is going to have a reward for them. To those who have followed Jesus, believed in Him, because of that, they are living a holy life. Because of that, they're living a righteous life. Because of that, they are serving Him. There will be a reward. Never forget that. Your faithful service to God will be rewarded. Sometimes in our lives, it's difficult for us to think about that. Sometimes in our lives, we look at the prosperity of the wicked, and we think about all the physical blessings that they have, and we don't think that the reward of God is going to be worth it. But listen, we really do not comprehend what the reward of God means. It's going to far outweigh any blessing that someone might have on this earth. You dedicate yourself to the faithful service of God, and He will reward you, and it is a reward of which you will not be ashamed. It will not be less than you imagine. It will be far greater than you can ever imagine. But remember, there will come a time when your standing with God is finalized. There'll be no more time to work. There'll be no more reward to be gained. So let's remember that. So we remember, as Jesus said in verse number 7, he that keepeth the sayings of this book, the sayings of the prophecy of this book, that person is blessed. Listen, this is the blessing of God. God is telling you, you will be blessed. That's not me telling you, you'll be blessed. That's not even the richest man in the world telling you that you will be blessed. This is the God of all creation, who created all things, And he says, you keep this book. You be faithful to follow this book. You be faithful to do what he's commanded you. And you will be blessed. Let's never forget that. As we go on and we read down in verse number 16, where it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the spring of David and the bright and morning star. It is in this passage where we tie the entire book of Revelation together. So let's turn back to Revelation in chapter number 1. And really, because it's tying the book of Revelation together, we'll start in chapter number 2, sorry. Well, no, chapter number 1 is fine. We'll read verses 19 and 20. But it ties the entire book together because you go all the way back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. And in chapter number 3, you see where the seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head. And you follow it all the way through. And in the end, in the book of Revelation, you see the serpent's head being crushed. And so from Genesis to Revelation, you have that entire, we'll call it the storyline, about how God is going to provide the one that is going to crush the serpent's head, how the sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden is going to be taken away, and the death that came in the Garden of Eden when man rebelled against God and took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, how that rebellion is wiped out, and how death is wiped out, and how sin is removed, and the curse is removed, and things are restored to the origin of God's creation. You see that finalized in the book of Revelation. And how is that finalized? If you remember, if you've been with us as we've gone through the book of Revelation, we remember this is John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos. And he says that he was in the spirits on the Lord's day. Read verse number 9 first. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, and it begins to tell him, and then it tells him in verse number 19, write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. So if you go and you read there, and Jesus said, I have sent mine angel to testify unto you of these things in the churches. Jesus is saying, I've sent my angel. He's come to be the testifying of how God is going to fulfill that purpose. But also it was delivered through John to the pastors of the seven churches in Asia. And so it is through the church where the message of Jesus Christ is to be testified, to tell the story of what Jesus Christ has done. And so it is really, chapter number 22 is really a culmination of the story of God, how he's removing the curse and providing salvation for the world. It is interesting for us to understand that he says the bright and morning star. It's interesting that star comes up again like it did this morning. You remember we read in Numbers 24:17 how that star was going to come. Well, here we're finding that star is Jesus. That star from Numbers 24, that one is to come. Jesus is saying, I am the bright and morning star. I am the star. I am the one that through whom the scepter is going to rise. I am the Redeemer of Israel. I am the Messiah. Once again, as he's closing out the book, he's reminding us of who he is, the one who brings the light into the world. And I want you to notice, he says, the last call. What's his last words? Now, these aren't the words of Jesus, the last words that are colored in red. You guys can see that. Surely I come quickly. But I want you to notice, at the conclusion of the book. You know, think about the idea that people have of Christianity. Think about the idea that people have about Christians even. And think about how that their idea of Christianity is that it's a negative. To be a follower of Jesus in the eyes of many people is a negative thing. And even think about those who don't believe in what we call particular redemption, or they don't believe in election because they say, well, that excludes too many people. But I want you to notice what Jesus says here. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What we find out here in the end of this book is that God is not excluding anyone. He's saying, whosoever will, let him come. The end of the book is come. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We remember that Jesus Christ is not coming to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We see the final words, so to speak, of Jesus is, come. Come. He's not saying, stay away. He's not pushing them away. He's saying, if you will, come. Now we know the answer to that is that they won't come. But if they would come, they would come and take of the water of life freely. But you see, that's our duty as a church. It says here what the Spirit says unto the churches. It's our duty, it's our responsibility to take this book and share with them, this is the path to eternal life. This is the path to blessing. This is the path of how to have condemnation and guilt and sin removed. That's our responsibility as a church to take this to the world. It's the message of Jesus for the world to come to Him. But they won't come. But that shouldn't hinder us from delivering that message. And again, as we said in verse number 20, behold, I come quickly. Sort of the last words of Jesus. And when the words, I come quickly, there's a couple of for that. And I know you know this, but he hasn't really come in quickly in time because it's been 2,000 years since he was here. But when he comes in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you know, it's going to be in an instant. It's going to be quick. It's going to be right now. There won't be time to go back and make changes when he comes. So we want to remember that. He's encouraged us. And what did he say? It's our duty not to know when Jesus is coming, but to be always ready for his coming. And so we are to prepare. But we also want to understand this. This is a promise that he's coming again. Again, as we mentioned this morning, how it's going to become increasingly difficult to take a stand for the Word of God and take a stand for the truths, for the faith once delivered to the saints, and take a stand for morality and for righteousness and holiness. And sometimes, even as I told the men this morning in the Sunday school class how I read about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and how he suffered as he, under the hand of the Gestapo and Hitler, and how he was slain. You know, there may come a time when it's against the law to follow Jesus. But the encouragement for us is that Jesus is coming again. The encouragement for us is that he's not going to leave us here alone. He's coming again. What an encouragement for us to live life, to know that he's coming again, that no matter what we're facing on this earth, he's coming again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. Let's not forget that he's coming again, and let's make sure we live in the light of his coming. In other words, we live like Jesus is coming Again, what a word of encouragement. Again, think about the saints that are receiving this book and the persecution that they're going to face under the hands of the Roman government. Many of them have already been persecuted. Many of them are facing persecution and martyrdom. Jesus wanted them to remember that He's coming again. No matter what we're facing in life, no matter the difficulties of life, He wants us to remember that He's coming again. And what should our response to that be? What's it say? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Behold, I come quickly. And amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So, in the conclusion to the book, our attitude, even so, come, Lord Jesus. You're coming again? Do not hasten your coming. Come again. Receive us unto yourself. And then we get to verse 21, which is the benediction of John, when he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about how John concluded the book. He concluded the book by reminding us of the grace of God. What a word to conclude the book. The grace of God be with you. We're reminded as we have followed the storyline from the book of Genesis, book of Revelation. We have saw those who did not deserve the blessings of God. Think about Jacob the deceiver. As you go back and you think about his life and how he was full of deception, and he didn't deserve the promises of God, but God blessed him. You think about men like Saul of Tarsus, who was a murderer, yet God redeemed him. And we could go on and think about all of the stories of the people in the Scripture that were recipients of the grace of God. You see, their position with Jesus Christ was not based upon their works. It was based upon the grace of God. And what a word for us to know, to remember that grace is the foundation of the book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That our position with Him is not based upon our works. That in order for me to be ready for Him to come, I got to make sure I do all of these works. No! I'm ready for Him to come again and for Him to come quickly because of His grace. That He has given me salvation even when I was dead in trespasses and sins. He has quickened me together with Christ Jesus. For by grace I am saved. And throughout my life, my works never have measured up to what they should have been, but the grace of God has always been with me. And what a way to end the book for us to think about the grace of God, that when we don't measure up, it doesn't matter. The grace of God is always going to be with us. And so what a way for John to put a conclusion upon the book. The grace of God. His goodness is not deserved by us. We could never earn His goodness. But God's provision for us in life comes by grace. And so as we conclude this kind of reading through the Bible in the year, I want you to remember grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And what a benediction. Really, as you close out the year, we can look back and say, we're thankful for how the grace of God has been with us throughout the year. I'm sure as we look back on 2018, we can look back and we can say, there's some things that happened in 2018 that if you'd asked me on January 1, I would have never imagined that I would have experienced those things. But I look at where I've been. I'm thankful for the grace of God that's led me through those things. And as we look forward, Tina, I'm sure there's going to be some things that happen in 2019 that we couldn't even imagine. The grace of Jesus Christ is going to be with us. That unmerited favor of God, that He's always going to be with us, giving us what we don't deserve. And maybe 2019 is the year He calls us all home. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know what? I had never thought about the way that John had concluded the book before. As I told you, and it's really not John concluding the book. Really, it's God, right? It's God speaking through John to us. But the way that God, kind of the last word, the last testimony, the final argument is to remember, the grace of God be with you all. Amen. I pray that you've been encouraged as we've gone through this Bible this year and read through the Bible in the year. I pray that you will be encouraged to read through your Bible again this upcoming year. But more importantly, I pray that you will recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this study. And God, we just thank you for your grace. And yes, Lord, if it is your will, we pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your grace. May it lead us through the upcoming year. Thank you for loving us, providing eternal redemption for us. May we love you and live for you and serve you in return for the great love wherewith you have loved us. Bless the people that are here. Bless those that we know that are watching. We pray, God, they've been encouraged by your word tonight. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.